The Kentucky Wildcats get a big win over Ole Miss, and the defense looks better. But a tough test lies ahead as the Wildcats have to head down to Auburn to face the Tigers. I'm Andrew Stefaniak, writer and editor over at Wildcats Today, joined, as always, by my co-host, Carson Nash, of the Wildcats Today podcast. Carson, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic today.
Valentine's Day. What did you and the lady have a good time? What'd y'all go do? Did you do something
yeah,
fun?
Yeah, we had a fantastic time. We did dinner. We had we did dinner and lunch and all
is
the
Carson
all the
a, is Carson, this is what Big Blue Nation wants to know. Is Carson Nash a big romance guy?
Heck yeah. Big romance guy.
Okay.
You know, gotta have the candles, the flowers, all of that. You know, I gotta take right. good gotta take care of my girl. You know, she takes yeah, care of me.
So I see, next time I see Grace, I'll have to ask her if it was a good Valentine's Day and you actually did what you said you did. But I'm sure you did. That is beside the point. Today we are going to talk about something more romantic than Valentine's Day, and that is Kentucky playing defense. You know, Carson, in this game, Kentucky beats Ole Miss 75-63 to snap the losing streak in Rupp Arena. Thank goodness, because if that got to four games, the sky was going to fall. You know, because I can already see people that are still upset, you know, saying, well, the defense, no. Was the defense perfect? No, it wasn't perfect. There were still some open looks, but the defense, as we've said, doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be okay. If the defense is okay and Kentucky scores like we know they can, this team can go on a run and have a really good rest of the year. What they did against Ole Miss has only scored less than 63 points once this season, ironically, and it was against Auburn in Neville Arena, so that's kind of funny. But, I was really satisfied with this game, Carson. What were your thoughts on the defense and on this win for Kentucky over Ole Miss?
Yeah, of course. Anytime that Kentucky can hold a team under 70, you got to expect to win the game. I mean, our offense is so high octane that anything under 70 is going to be almost a guaranteed win. So that is lovely to see that they only scored 63 points. And I thought we played fantastic. I really did. I love that game. That game was kind of more of a dogfight, lower scoring. Like, it was more physical and yeah, we actually out-rebounded Ole Miss in the game, which was
37-34.
Yeah, so that was big. I know I talked a little bit on the last pod about saying the two biggest categories were rebounding and turnovers. We actually lost the turnover category.
Yeah.
But if you lose the turnover category and win rebounding, that's I feel like rebounding is a little bit bigger than turnovers because we play so fast-paced anyway that we're going to get shots off. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a really good game. We had a lot of even scoring. No one really just took over the game for us. It was more everyone was kind of around like the 10-point range, which was a good team win.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. I wrote that in my takeaways over at Wildcats Today of like, I like a game where everybody, you know, Edwards has 12, Reeves has 15, Reed has 13, Rob has 10. Nobody had 27. It was just a balanced attack. And I love that because it proves why this team is so dangerous. Because on any given night, Reeves can score 30, Rob can score 30, Reed can score 25, you know, on any given night. But then you can have a night where they just all score 10, 12, 15, and you put, you know what I mean? That's what makes this team so dangerous is everybody can do it. You know, there's two stats that I want to highlight. Well, first of all, Ole Miss, I want to add, when speaking about the defense, now, did they miss some good looks? Yes. Like, of course, they had some looks that didn't go in. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't go in, it didn't go in. You know what I mean? It's like when they say you hit a little blooper in the left and it's a, you know, it's a rocket in the stat sheet. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? Ole Miss shot 37% from the field and 22% from three. You'll take that. I don't care who you're playing. You'll take that. But these are two stats I want to highlight, Carson. I want to get your thoughts on these. Ugonna Onyinso, 10 blocks. He hosted a block party. He was grilling burgers and hot dogs and you know, some corn. And he was just blocking shots. He was sending everything back. And then Reed Shepherd, this one surprised me. I don't know if you know. Five steals. Did you know that? Yeah. Five steals for Reed, 10 blocks, for Hugo. I mean, what does that mean to you, Carson, those two numbers?
Well, first off, I'll talk about Hugo. Hugo's 10 blocks tied the Rupp Arena record. I think previously held by Nerlens Noel. I think it was somebody else.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know how to find that, but I'm pretty sure. Let us know in the comments if you know who it was. How about this?
Yeah.
We'll look it up and put it in the comments.
Yeah, but either way.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for that kid. That kid has just stayed down and became a defensive menace. He is so fun to watch defensively. Whenever they have a shot in the paint and it just goes up, I almost expect him to block it at this point. And honestly, like that performance, there's been some performances in these past couple of years that are just mind-boggling. Of course, you think of Oscar's 28 rebound game, and then Hugo has 10 blocks in a single game. That is nuts. Like that, not many people do that, especially in college. And the Reed five steals thing, and you know, I think he's still the SEC leader in steals. I could be wrong, but I think he still is the leader.
That will help.
Yeah, but five steals in a game is nuts. And that both of those statistics are so impactful when you talk about defense. And it also turns into offense because those are turnovers. Say when you go swats a ball and DJ gets a loose rebound on a fast break, that is a situation where you can get easy points.
Yeah.
And so that statistical category is huge for both of those. Those are both team statistics because that helps your team win both those categories. So I love that. And that is so amazing to hear.
You know, I would love, that'd be a fun thing to pull. How many of Hugo's 10 blocks, how many turned into like Rob grabbed the ball and pass it up to Reeves for a lane, or DJ grabbed it and threw it up to Edwards. How many of those blocks turned into an easy basket? You know, like I'm not talking like in the half court offense. I'm talking like a run out easy basket.
Not only that, it changes the way Ole Miss can play offense.
Yeah,
because they can't have the easy inside layups anymore. They have to take contested mid range shots, and that leads to them shooting 30-something% from the field.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this game, I mean, like the veteran players, Alan Flanagan, 10 points, Morrell, 16, but like you'll take that. In a guard like Morrell playing in Rupp Arena, you just don't want him to have 25. 16 is a win for a guard like that. You know, Cisse, 7 points. Brakefield had 16. Murray had 6. I mean, these are veteran players. And I mean, you really held them next to nothing. I mean, their bench only has 8 points in like a ton of minutes. I mean, this was just a really good win. A really good win. And I mean, the hope here is that this can, you know, kind of get you going for the matchup on Saturday with Auburn. So, I mean, this is just, this feels like one of those wins where should you have won this game? Yes. Are you a better team than Ole Miss? Yes, you are. There's no doubt there. I mean, you cover the spread. The defense looked good. You didn't even really have your best offensive day, and you get the job done. So, I mean, this was a really good win that really brought me back hope. Maybe this team can make a run. You know, I was starting to get, I don't know about this team. A game like this where they actually play defense against a team, don't forget, I mean, Ole Miss, obviously, I mean, their stats will have been affected by that game against Kentucky, but they're scoring 75 points, almost 76 points a game, shooting 38% from three and 45% from the field. You hold them to 37% from the field and 22 from three. I mean, this is, you can't deny numbers. So this was a good win and really gave me confidence again that this team can make a run. So I was happy with this one. Carson, we want to preview Auburn a little longer today. So do you got anything else to add about this game before we get into the matchup with Auburn coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, it feels like everyone's kind of starting to play with a little bit more fire. And I loved what I saw out of Justin Edwards again. That kid is starting to finally turn it on.
And yeah, man.
He has some freaking confidence right now, man. And I love it. I love it.
Good for him. Bigger than basketball. I mean, good for him. I mean, you know, I mean, once again, everybody people are welcome to be upset when players don't play well, but man, you got to be happy when they come through. I mean, Edwards, I don't know if I ever told you this, Carson, but like I was watching, I watched him in warmups one day. I was down just watching on the floor, watching warmups before the game. And I was watching it and he was missing some shots and he was really upset with himself. I don't know if I've told you this. I'm sorry. I'm turning into my dad, but I mean, you know, he was upset with himself. And I mean, he was in his head. And that's what I'm telling you. He was in his head. It was clear as day. This kid is in his head. And it was hard to watch he was upset with himself, missing some shots he should be making, you know, in warmups. And seeing him come through, there's nobody. I'm just so happy to see him come through and play good basketball. He's a good kid, good person. And his teammates, Coach Cal, he's working his butt off to get better. It's not like he's just, he is working. He's doing everything he can to turn this around. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I've gained a little bit of confidence in him being able to be a good NBA player someday based on the fact that this kid won't give up. He's not going to quit. He has a dream and he's going to do everything in his power to achieve it. And I really respect that. And I'm so happy and proud for this young man who's really turning this around. So good for him. But once again, yeah, Edwards, let me pull up his numbers in the day. He was 4-for-7 from the field, 4-for-5 from the free throw line, 12 points. He had 2 rebounds, an assist, and 2 steals. You'll take that all day.
Heck yeah. And I think the best version of Justin Edwards is the turn the defense into offense, Justin Edwards.
Yeah.
Because in high school, all of his highlight clips were, a steal turned into a windmill dunk or something like that. And he was known for being a defensive lockdown in high school. So when he turns on that defense, that translates into his offense. That makes him become a better player. And I think he's actually finally broke through the mental war he was going through.
Yes.
Because you see that big old smile he had when he had that and one after he spun that guy around. It was so exciting to see, and I was so happy for him.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be. I mean, you just have to be. I'm trying to see any other stats. We'll get into Trey Mitchell and his injury when we get talking about Auburn. But one thing I do want to talk a little bit about, and I know it's only been 2 games, but, DJ hasn't had his best cup. Now, I'm not concerned about it. But I think he's settling back in. He's not playing a handful of games. I think he's settling back in. But I'd love to see DJ get going against Auburn on Saturday. I think he could be an X factor getting to the rim.
Yeah, but, you have to have that against Auburn because they always have good guards. And I think DJ, it's just been a rehabbing of the ankle, getting back used to the game flow and everything. I really don't see any issue with him long term.
Yeah. He only played 18 minutes actually in this game. He was 1-for-4, made both of his free throws. He had 4 assists, which we'll take that all day.
Mm-hmm.
4 points. So, I mean, I'm not, if he plays bad against Auburn, then it can be a conversation, but I think he's just kind of getting back into the flow of things. But I mean, you know, Reeves is good. Edwards is good. And Anunso was great. Fierro still rebounding the basketball, doing some good stuff. Reed was incredible as always. Reed and Rob are getting themselves into the Antonio Reeves category of we don't need to talk about them because if they played a basketball game, they played well. So there's no reason to even talk about it. But Carson, are you ready to move on to the Auburn game?
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this Auburn is a team who absolutely steamrolled South Carolina last night in Neville Arena. 40-point win, which I'll tell you, Carson, I don't remember if I've said it on the show. I think South Carolina, I think they kind of, they Kentucky played bad down there. And you can't take that win away from them in Knoxville. It's a good win. But I am not bought into South Carolina yet. I'm not. I think that you could see them go on a little bit of a slide here in the end.
Here's what I think happened. I think the mixture of Kentucky playing bad, they played good at home. They won that big win, right? And then I think physically, I think South Carolina matches up better with Tennessee than they do most teams in the SEC because they're just a more physical team.
Yeah.
And I think Auburn kind of just ran them off the court. And so I think paired with Kentucky playing bad, I think that's definitely the reason we lost down there. And, of course, they beat Tennessee because they – they just played a better game plan than Tennessee did. But I think they're about the same team as Tennessee is physically wise, so they can keep up with them and play with them. So I don't think South Carolina is this awesome team that everyone's saying right now. I just don't think they have the talent to go very far, but they've been stringing together wins. So, I mean, it's good for them and good for their program.
Yeah. Do you want to, here's the word I have. And yes, I agree. The good for South Carolina to kind of turn the trend. I really like their coach, by the way. I just like the way he handles himself on the sideline. He doesn't yell at officials and he seems to, I like the way he conducts himself. I like him. But I have one word to describe this Auburn game, Carson, and it is opportunity. Opportunity. I think that, listen, am I going to predict Auburn? I mean, am I going to predict Kentucky to win this game at the end of it? It would be hard to do that. You know what I mean? It'd be hard to predict Kentucky to win this game. No one's going to predict Kentucky to win this game. But that's what that does is it gives you an opportunity. If you go and win this game in what is turning into a really good environment down there, give Auburn credit for that. I mean, and Bruce Pearl credit for that. I know that he was at Tennessee, so Auburn fans obviously Kentucky fans still obviously aren't a big fan of Bruce Pearl, which is fair because, I mean, those orange suits he used to wear were horrendous. But
yeah, and he sweats through all of them.
Yeah, he does. But give him credit and those fans credit. They've made a tough environment to play in down there. But if Kentucky can go win this game, this turns everything around. Gives you a quad one. So let's run through these numbers. Auburn is 4 in KenPom, 9 in offensive efficiency, 4 in defensive efficiency. Kentucky right now is 26 in KenPom, 7 in offense efficiency, 106 in defensive efficiency. Auburn is number 6 in the net. So, of course, this would be a quad one win because they're, and it's on the road. Auburn's 2-4 in quad one games. Kentucky is 24th in the net, and they are 2-5 in quad one games. But, I mean, Carson, I just think the word opportunity, no one's going to expect Kentucky to win this game. I mean, no one. After what Auburn did, I've already seen Big Bull Nation going, uh-oh, after what they did last night against South Carolina. No one, I don't think, is going to predict them to win this game, but I think that they can. I mean, here's the deal. Now, am I going to, when we give our score prediction, I don't think I'm going to say Kentucky's going to win. But Kentucky can win this game. The way they play offense, the way they shoot the ball, they will never be out of a game. You know, I know Auburn's good in KenPom when it comes to defense. I don't care if you're the number one KenPom in defense. Kentucky's going to score points. Example, Tennessee. Tennessee is a top 10 team in defense in KenPom. And what did Kentucky hang on them? Even though in 92 points, it was a loss, but you still put up 92 points. So I think that Kentucky's going to score and it's going to keep them in this game. Can they stop Auburn? Will be everything. That will be everything in this game. So Carson, what are your thoughts on this game, knowing these numbers and all that?
Yeah, so I do love the word opportunity. I think that is definitely the word of this game. If you win this game, it can almost restart your season in a way. Sure. Because you come off this game and you got tons of confidence. Your team's finally starting to click a little bit. Hopefully, if you do win, it's a little more defensively, you come together defensively. And then, you're getting closer to March and SEC tournament time. And if you beat Auburn, you can hang with the best of the SEC and you can beat a bunch of tournament teams. So that would be a huge confidence booster. But yeah, in this game, I think it's going to be key to be a good defensive team for sure. Like, you're going to have to stay on your assignments. Auburn's always fun and like exciting in offensive terms. And I think the biggest key is, and I know you said you might not pick us to win, and I don't know if I will or not yet either, but I think Auburn could almost beat themselves in this game because it's one of those games where they're coming off a high of beating a ranked team by 40, and then they're coming in, they're playing their Super Bowl against Kentucky, and their players are going to lose their minds.
Shirts are coming off.
Of course, we know our fan favorites, KD Johnson. He acts like he's 2 years old, and then you got Cardwell, who's also, he's been there for 10 years and he acts like he's 2 years old too. So both those guys are going to be energetic. They're going to be going crazy. And it really comes down to you got to stick good defense. And are they going to take shots they shouldn't be taking? Because Auburn has – sometimes they have a knack to shoot from the logo. And sometimes they go in. So if they go in and they're going in, then UK is not going to win this game because all that's going to happen. But if they're missing those – and it starts to get in their head a little bit and they start getting frustrated and forcing things, that's where you can take advantage of them.
Yeah. I've watched this Auburn team play a lot this year. So, I mean, I'm going to run through just some of the things I've noticed in some of these players. So, guard play this year is interesting. They have a five-star freshman, Aiden Holloway, who has not played well this year. He started the year as a starter. Now he is the backup to a point guard named Trey Donaldson.
He actually played with Rob in high school, right?
Yeah. I think AAU.
AAU. AAU.
So they're back, or they're once backup point guard is now their starter. His name is Trey Donaldson. He's a good player. He's a facilitator more so than a scorer. Kind of reminds me of the what was the dude from Kansas that was the facilitator, but then the dude who had 84 threes and he hadn't made one like all year. That dude, remember that dude?
Dewan Harris.
Yeah. Reminds me a little bit of that guy where he can shoot and he can score, but he's out there to, you know, space the floor, facilitate, find open guys. And he takes care of the basketball. You know, Auburn, like Kentucky, they don't turn it over a ton. Then what's interesting, believe it or not, you know, Carson, you're talking about how good Auburn's guards always are. This year, it's actually their front court that's pretty good. You're right. Those Auburn guards, we know the dudes in 2019 and all that couldn't miss three to – gosh. But now it's the front court. They got
– I was saying is don't be surprised if the guards try to pull something like that. Like, I can see
it. I'm not saying they probably won't shoot. I'm just saying it's not the Auburn guards you're used to. Where
they got – close their eyes. That Broom's their stud.
Yeah, they got Jani Broom down there. And a kid named Jalen Williams. And these are the two. Last night, for example, I watched. So, and I have another interesting point. I watched the last three Auburn games because I knew how important this game was going to be for Kentucky. So I watched this team like a hawk. And last night, this scares me a little bit. Their big guys, Williams and Broom, were a combined, drum roll, 12.
Math is hard.
Hush. 12. They were 9 for 12 from 3. They're big guys. They're 4 and 5. I don't think that's sustainable.
I hope it's not.
This Williams kid, I watched him. He can shoot. He actually can shoot. Broom, it is not a pretty looking jump shot. It goes in, but it's not pretty. So, like,
it's a slow jump shot too.
Yeah, it's a slower jump shot.
All I'm seeing with that is if you run him off, if he's out on the 3-point line and he's going to shoot, you got to close out because it takes him a while to get the ball up.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, so those are the two players in the starting lineup to watch out for. Now, Bruce Pearl, he switches in and out. Like, they run a platoon. They put 5 guys in at the 16-minute mark and they put their starters back in. So they've got Cardwell, who actually, believe it or not, because we've watched him forever. You know, he's been there forever. He's gotten better, actually, believe it or not. I watched him last night, and I was like, oh, he can actually, you know, he played well. He made free throws, which I remember that dude couldn't, like, he was 4 for 4 from the free throw line, which I would have put, like, $50 on him to not go 4 for 4 on the free throw line. But, and he also, it's hilarious. He throws it at the rim as hard as he can at like a straight angle. It's you'll see it on Saturday. Well, hopefully we won't because he doesn't get fouled and doesn't shoot free throws. But, and then they got this, of course, Katie Johnson. And then they've got this kid, Chad Baker Mazzara. This is his first year at Auburn, I believe. And he, this dude is a really interesting player. He scored 10 points in this game. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He also had he was 4 for 4 from the field and 2 for 2 from 3. He's one of those guys who he's going to try and get in the head of the Kentucky players. He's going to try and draw technical fouls. He's going to yap. You know, he's gonna and for example, I mean, I think he had 2 technical fouls last night. But like the ones, one was like he held a guy and it was like, you know, the X. And then one, they him and Michi Johnson got into a yap off. And Big Z did it in his debut, but I haven't seen it many times other than that.
Big Z kind of did it on accident.
Yeah, that's true. But so another thing about Kentucky is going to be keeping your composure. They like Katie Johnson, Cardwell, this kid, Baker Mazzara. They're going to try and get in your head. You can't let them rattle you. I actually think it will maybe get back in their head if you don't even think about it. Don't even listen to it. Don't think a word about it. Play your game. And I think that could potentially maybe get back in their head. But I want to make one more point, and then I will shut up for a little while and let you speak. Because I've been ranting but the last time, you know, you talked about the emotional high of beating the crap out of a team. Auburn plays Alabama last week on Wednesday. Then now this is different because it's Florida, but it was on the road. Then they go to Florida and get stomped the game after because they were riding the high of beating their rival. And then they don't show up. Florida, they only ended up losing that game by 16 points, but I think it was at one point they were down 30. And same thing, you get a huge win over South Carolina. Could we see that repeat itself? That would be interesting. Carson, thoughts?
Well, yeah, and the only reason I bring up, you know, emotional highs and stuff, and it does play a factor, but yeah, I believe that Auburn with Bruce Pearl as the coach, I don't really remember much before Bruce Pearl's time, but since Bruce Pearl's been the coach, they've always been a very, very emotional basketball team.
Yeah.
They always, and you know, no knock to them. Like, that's awesome. Like, they love to play with all the emotions and they take in every aspect of the game, but I think sometimes that can come back to burn you and bite you. And especially in this game, and you know, they definitely get up to play Kentucky, as much as their fans don't like to hear that. Their fans started camping out. Like, when was that, Andrew? You told me before we got on here.
I did see it on Twitter immediately following the win over South Carolina. There were tents lined up for a game. And once again, you know, Kentucky fans, we can have that pride of, you know, hey, you know, there can be, which, and that's fine. But it is pretty cool that, like, you know, these people are out here camping out 3 days.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That is cool. I'm saying that's cool for them, but also like
It's cool that right after they got done whooping up on a top 15, I think South Carolina's top 15, top 20,
number 11.
Oh yeah, so number 11 team in the country. They're thinking about their Wildcats right afterwards. So, you know, it's going to be crazy there. I actually kind of looked for a ticket because I know you're going to be there. Yeah. But the tickets that I was looking at were $4,000.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, yeah, can't do that. But it should be a really fun environment. You know, college basketball, it makes college basketball better, environments like that. So it should be a lot of fun. The game will be a lot of fun. It's two really good teams. So we'll see what happens. You got to play defense. I think Hugo will be huge in this game because you got to limit Broom somehow. And he's a force on the boards. He blocks shots. He kind of does everything for them. So Hugo is going to be a huge piece in this game. And it feels really good after having a 10-block game to go into this game knowing that, hey, he's there. Hugo's there. You know, he blocks shots. He's a force to reckon with. So,
yeah. And stopping their front court will be huge for trying to win this game. So, I mean, Carson, give me a – and also, you got to remember, so two interesting things I found out. This game for Auburn, it's – I was, you know, looking it up. It's going to be College Game Day. And it's also their Ought Live game, which is, and once again, Bruce Pearl, the orange suits are annoying, but I'll give him, he has a foundation that goes to support cancer and cancer research. And that's really cool to see. So this is Auburn's Ought Live game is what they call it. And, you know, they sell t-shirts and all the funds go to this. It's part of a foundation started by Bruce Pearl. I saw that. I saw Ought Live game. And I'm like, what is that? And I looked it up. So that's really cool of Bruce Pearl to do that. I just wanted to, as much as we want to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, no, that's cool, awesome. That's a great cause. That's really cool.
So, Carson, give me a score prediction and an MVP.
All right. So I'm going to go a little lower in this game because I think as much as we think it might be a super high scoring game, and it could be. And if it is a super high scoring game, I don't really feel good about it for us. So I'm going to have to go. I still think it's going to be higher scoring, but not like crazy high scoring. So I think it's going to be 82-80. Kentucky's going to win. And I think Rob Dillingham will win the MVP.
You know what's funny, and we didn't add this. I mean, if Kentucky wins this game, I don't think it's Reeves who's going to go off. I think if Kentucky wins this game, Rob has like 27 points.
I almost said DJ because I think DJ loves when people start talking crap to him.
Yeah. So I'm with you. Yes, I agree with you on that. I'll take Auburn, 81-76. I think Kentucky. Listen. I would not be surprised to see Kentucky win this game. I think they're going to be fired up. They just got a big win. The defense played well. And they know this is a huge game for us. Kentucky, you know, this team knows this. So this is big. This is, once again, an opportunity for us. The world's going to pick against us. College game day, I bet you they go straight line. Everybody picks Auburn. You know what I mean? No one's going to pick Kentucky in this game. No one's beat Auburn in their arena all year this year. I think Kentucky can do it. I'm still going to take Auburn. Especially since you took Kentucky, maybe if you would have taken Auburn, I would have pivot and take, but you took Kentucky. I'll take Auburn. I think that the Tigers win this one 81-76. I'm not a big moral victory guy. I'm not, but I do think that Auburn is one of the better teams in college basketball and playing in this environment with it being the Ott-Liv game and with it being college game day, winning that game is going to be tough. If Kentucky hangs around and gives them a run, I think you can take positives away from it. Now, everyone's going to be upset, of course, and you we all should be in a loss. But I think if they hang around, there'll be some positives to take away and stuff that, hey, if this game's in Nashville in the SEC tournament, if this game's in Indianapolis in the NCAA tournament, Kentucky wins. You know, and I think that is going to be something to pay attention to. So I think 81-76, and I don't think we've ever done this, but I'm going to take Rob Dillingham too. I think he might score 30 points in this game. I have a feeling he's going to have a Rob game and go play really well. And if he does that, Kentucky can win this game. So, Carson, anything else to add before we call it a day today?
You go and do. As much as I didn't say they would be MVPs, those are the two that you need to step up because Williams and Broom are going to bring the fire. So, those two guys, you need to hold out the big guys, and you should be able to at least stay close until the point where you can take over. So that's my keys to the game.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and Trey Mitchell. I mean, we won't go deep into that, but will he play? Will he not play? We'll see. Once again, I'll be down there. So if he's in warmups, check out Wildcats today. The website, check out our social medias. I'll be there. If I see Trey Mitchell in street clothes, if I see him getting ready to warm up, I'll let everybody know. So be ready for that. But it's going to be a fun game, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll have a ton of great coverage over at Wildcats today. I'll be down there. We have a ton of great coverage leading up to this game. So a lot to look forward to there. But that's going to do it for today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. We will come to you on Monday to break down, hopefully, a big Kentucky win and preview the games coming up next week because, ladies and gentlemen, the schedule is not going to lighten up for the Wildcats. But that's going to do it. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. It's going to be a fun one, and we will see you next time.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe as well. Like and subscribe. We will see you next time. Have a good weekend, everybody.